Think big. Think positive. Never show any sign of weakness. Always go for the throat. Buy low, sell high. Fear, that's the other guy's problem. Nothing you have ever experienced can prepare you for the unbridled carnage you're about to witness. Right. Super Bowl, the World Series, they don't know what pressure is. In this building, it's either kill or be killed. Right. You make no friends in the pits and you take no prisoners.
No prisoners.
1 minute, you're up half a million in soybeans, and the next, boom, your kids don't go to college and they've repossessed your Bentley. Are you with me?
Turner's Take Podcast. I'm your host, Craig Turner, author of the Turner's Take newsletter. I also write a newsletter for my clients on the spec side called Turner's Take Market Alert, and for farmers, hedgers, anyone involved in cattle, we've got Turner's Take Ag Marketing, and you can find that at turnerstakeag.com for the farming and the hedging side, and you can find the spec and my main page at turnerstake.com. I'm a broker here at Daniels Trading. Work with speculators, hedgers, broker-assisted clients, online trading. We have a fantastic platform and phone app. We also have what's known as a hybrid service, which is very popular, which is a mix of both having me as a broker and also using an online platform. So if you have any interest in that, please give us a call. Also, quick little note here. It is getting into the off-season. We will be traveling. I'll be at Commodity Classic in March. I'll be up in Minnesota. I'll be up in Wisconsin in January. I'm going to start to set up some dates to be in Illinois and Indiana in December, that first and second week of December. I'm actually talking to some hotels and conference rooms to go there. I think what we're going to do is when those dates get announced, if you're a client here for Daniels Trading, you can come to the seminar for free. It'll be a two-hour seminar on, first hour will be my presentation and where we see the markets going, and the second part will be more of a Q&A and strategy type session. So it'll be $20 if you're not a client here. If you listen to the podcast and fill out the promo code that we have, it'll be $10. And again, if you're a client at Daniels Trading, it'll be free. And we'll have coffee and probably it'll be in the morning, so we'll probably have some bagels and stuff like that too. So that is exciting. I'll get more info about that, and I do plan on, I do plan on trying to get around to a lot of the Midwest this, December, January, and February. So whether you're going to Commodity Classic or you're in, Illinois, Indiana, I'll try to get to Iowa in the new year. I'll be in Wisconsin, and I'll keep you updated on that. So, quick update today. A couple of things happened. One, exports were bad again, and I think the market kind of threw in the towel a little bit, with how poor exports were for wheat, soybeans, and corn. I also think, so that was one thing. We had 2 weeks in a row where the export report was not great. It was actually poor. And listen, I mean, 1.8 billion carryout on corn isn't so bad, but we need exports this time of year. If not, it's going to sell off. So the strong dollar has not helped us. As the stock market has sold off, and anyone who pays attention to the stock market or just the markets overall would have seen, we had about an 8% correction, in the stocks, finding a little bit of a rebound today, but that has pushed the dollar higher, as one does. I mean, when the big macro markets sell off in the stock market, that's what usually happens. The dollar gets bought. Unfortunately, that has made our exports a little bit more expensive. So our wheat is competitive. It's definitely cheaper than Europe. And right now in the spot market, it's still not as cheap as Russian wheat, but for February, starting in December delivery, it is. So hopefully those sales start coming in, because we could really use it. We went through the downside today on a support level, and if we don't start getting some export sales, we could be a problem. Hopefully we'll start to see something here, but if we don't get these export sales in December, January, and February that we're hoping for, that could be a real issue for the wheat market. We have seen hedgers come in and sell wheat in the deferreds. I still like selling the deferred markets. There's a lot of carry built up in there for like July 19 or December 19. We haven't sold anything. either, you know, locally or on the board. I do encourage that, and I think it's, especially you got to figure there's going to be more Wheat Acres next year. You know, what exactly the mix will be, I don't know, but when you consider input costs and what the wheat is trading for right now, I mean, it makes sense to plant wheat. So, especially over some of these other things, would not be surprised if we saw expansion in wheat. So, if you are going to expand to wheat, or you just know you're going to have a lot of wheat next year, selling the deferreds on a rally makes a lot of sense to me. You can always have a cheap call in case you don't want to deal with margin calls, but that is how I would do it. Let's take a look at corn. You can make a case corn's at a pretty good value at 360. You know, in the mid 350s to 360 is a value area for corn, even with a 1.8 billion carryout and where exports are now. You would think we would eventually get exports in corn. There is some competition from the Ukraine and from South America, but U.S. should still get sales on that. So I think the downward pressure in corn is probably more temporary in nature. The soybeans, though, and we're going to talk about a couple of things here affecting soybeans, do concern me heading into, one, the end of the month, and also a little bit farther. One, November beans, first notice day is next Wednesday, and anyone who has a basis contract that's tied to November futures is going to have, most likely, is going to have to make a decision on pricing beans or rolling them by the end of the month. There's a lot of other products out there that get tied into the first delivery month of November soybeans. And that, again, it's going to cause some selling pressure where farmers are basically going to have to price or roll or in some shape or form. And, you know, some guys, and there are going to be people who are going to sell. Some will roll. Honestly, you're probably the best way, most cost-efficient way to do it is probably at this point, you sell the cash and buy the beans back on the board, either with a call or the futures. You know, we're already below 850. You know, if we sell off for another 2 days and get to 830 or 820, which could happen, you know, you would think that'd be a value area for the soybean market. Now, here's the problem. Not only is delivery pressure happening in soybeans right now, exports stink. We should be ratcheting up the exports. If we had trade deals with China right now, it would be all about huge soybean sales, and they're not, and that's a big concern. Now, we will get these exports from some other countries. You know, there will be makeup, but it's not going to be during the same time frames that we've seen them in the past. So I think that spooked the market a little bit. Another thing that came out today is that the United States, let me get the headline. Basically, the United States, and I'll put this link in my newsletter today, the Turner's Take newsletter and podcast, which is the weekly free one anyone can get, and also included in the show notes. But there's a headline out of CNBC, I believe the reporting was originally done by Wall Street Journal, that the U.S. won't talk to China on trade until it gets a specific plan to halt technology theft. So basically, you know, there was talks about a meeting in late November between the President of the United States and China, and this is going to put a kind of a damper on it. It's a little bit of a wet blanket. And, you know, as we can see here, this trade deal really has a lot to do with, they're calling it technology theft, but in this article, but intellectual property. You know, intellectual property and innovation and technology is really what makes developed economies grow, and without it, you can't have a growing developed economy. I've talked about this in the past. Developing nations can increase their GDP and increase their wealth only so much through, let's say, savings, education. You know, bringing everything up to the speed to, let's say, a developing nation to a developed first world nation, right? At some point, you know, if only 20% of your population is high school, you know, educated, and you bring that up to, let's say, 90%, you know, at some point you can't improve on that anymore. Like, that tops out. You know, you can go from a nation that is a debtor to a creditor, but you can only save so much for so long. You know, you can only... you can for the workforce, you can drag the workforce out of, you know, let's say agriculture into the cities, into manufacturing, but eventually, you know, you can only convert so many, you know, until everyone's, you know, until major industry has been converted. That's where, you know, and what happens with a lot of other nations, like the paper tigers in Southeast Asia from the 90s, or what happened in Russia and the Soviet Union, is you can only mobilize those resources so much until growth stops. Though, as we all know with governments, the spending never stops, and the spending actually gets, you know, more and more year over year. The only way to do that, to take the next step as a mature economy, is to have a system in place that has incentives for profit making, for innovation, for creating new technologies, efficiencies, and productivity. Communism is not set up for that, right? So China is not really set up for that, and their best way to be able to have access to that is through basically borrowing or taking other, you know, other nations' technology. So now that China is a real threat to U.S. power, is trying to become, you know, one of the superpowers or a superpower in the world, I think the United States is looking like, listen, you know, can't steal our technology anymore. You know, this is now we're playing for keeps, and you know, this is why we have a trade war. So, you know, I think the market now realizes that. They realize how important intellectual property is and the technology theft. Nothing's going to happen with trade until that gets resolved. And I don't know what China's going to do, because basically, you know, if they aren't able to basically use and take other, you know, other technologies, and they have to develop it themselves, you know, they're either going to have to change their whole, you know, a big part of their economic and political system, you know, to basically have a free market and a system that welcomes innovation, profit, you know, risk taking, which really isn't in the Communist Party wheelhouse, right? So, you know, what are they going to do? You know, and also they can't just change a culture and a system like that overnight. So it's going to be, it really is, it's a big, big issue. I am not so rosy on them getting a deal done. I mean, if China needs soybeans, they need soybeans. But if they don't, they're certainly not going to do it. And if they can hurt the United States politically by not doing trade, you know, for certain groups, agriculture be the big one, probably in the United States, you know, then they will, to put pressure on the U.S. So the election will come and go, but I'll include the link to that story. But that was disappointing today. Anyways, long story short, the market knows this. It's another reason for selling the market today. So still think corn has a pretty good value. I think wheat, if we can get some exports, is a pretty good value. If we don't get exports in wheat, I'm real concerned about it. If we don't get exports in corn, which I don't see how that's possible, we're going lower. But I really do think at a 1.8 billion carryout and getting some exports, corn will be okay. But the beans, if we don't get exports with beans and China and the United States have this standoff, it's the beans that get hurt the most. And, you know, between delivery pressure, the lower exports, the rhetoric between the United States and China, you know, we could test the lows again. And also South American weather and planting has been going very well too. So not a whole lot of bullish cards in the deck for soybeans right now. The bias is lower, and it has the effect of maybe drag corn a little bit lower with it too. But that's what we have to live with for now. So at any time, I will say this though, like at any time, if the U.S. and China do start talking, the big winner is going to be the soybean market. So I think that's why no one really wants to outright short the soybeans. You know, if you can use puts, you can use put spreads for protection. I did sell some new crop soybeans at $9.50. We did 10% of it. I did sell 5% of corn at $4. Really wished I had done it at 10%, and I didn't. But we did get our first sale on the board when corn was trading at 4. I may put another 5% for 4, and just to be 10% sold based on DEIS 19 on that. And we still have corn. We still have corn to sell. I mean, based on the newsletter, we're going to be basically 40% sold for this year and storing 60%, which is not how I like to do it, but that's just the reality of those tariffs coming on so early, and we didn't get a whole lot of marketing opportunities past April, really, or May. So that's just something we'll have to live with. But there will be better days ahead for the grain markets, and that's why you can store things. So, but as we see beans get above $9.50 in the new crop again and corn above $4, we are going to look to get sold some. And then if we're really concerned about higher prices, we'll buy a cheap call. But I think just the way things are now, you can't let those opportunities pass up. And that's something that I think we've learned over the past 5 years. As for the spec side, if you're a day trader or a swing trader, I would continue to look for downward pressure on beans and wheat. Follow it with a close stop or a cheap call to the, just protect yourself, because right now the path of release resistance is lower. And it's not going to change until exports change. So that's where we are with that. Dollar probably going to keep on going higher as long as we talk about interest rates. Also, the dollar is comparable to like the euro and other foreign currencies. Those have been looking weaker. That's going to be a problem. It's going to present a little bit of an issue with exports, but we'll deal with it as that comes. I've been talking about feeder cattle, that we had a bullish cattle on feed report last week. We are back down to where we started, about 147 in March. And then if we look at November, again, we're right back to where we started on Friday. So that whole bullish cattle on feed report has pretty much been wiped away. I still, if you need to hedge cattle prices, feeders, feeders can come, if we break through these, we are breaking through these resistance lines, these trend lines in the feeder market, we could technically come down another $3 to $5 in the feeders. Still time to either one. I like it as a spec play. I like it as a hedger. I think you just, if you're a hedger, you just sell it or buy a put spread probably. Again, with the speculators out there, I like selling the futures, and then instead of having a stop, I like buying calls. I like buying the short-dated call as protection. That'll be my stop. I'd much rather do that in the feeders because it can move so fast and so big, rather than just shorting and having a stop. What's nice about that too is when you sell futures and buy a call, or if you buy futures and then buy the put. If you are wrong or something crazy happens, like you get an announcement or, mad cow disease or there's a hurricane or something out of left field comes, that temporarily pushes the prices around, you can always take the profit on the option, right? If it goes against you at first, and then take that off and then just stay with the futures. Can't do that with a stop. So that's one of the reasons why I do prefer that, especially with markets that can be volatile, and that's one of them. Oh, something else I've been writing about is cotton. So, cotton had some big issues, right, with the hurricane in Georgia. We had loss. There's loss in Texas now with some of their flooding. We're getting untimely rains in Kansas. That's hurting some of the cotton crop. But, cotton, just like beans, can be sensitive to China. And then when the Chinese market, which was almost down 30% over the year, was basically the Chinese market was tanking again late last week and early this week. And that brought cotton down. It has recovered and stabilized. So I still like the cotton story. But if you're going to participate in it with me, you just got to realize this thing's volatile. It's a little bit thin. I mean, it's definitely tradable, but it's a little bit thin. It can be pushed around when you get some pretty big news events. And you just got to be able to sit through it. And if you're not comfortable with that, then, there's plenty of liquidity in the corn market. For cotton, it's a little bit of, it's going to be more volatile. It just hands down. That's the way it is. I did write about last week about, in the hog spreads. We did get into some of those. We actually got out of some of them today. If we get back down to that 650 area, probably get back into them again. I consider that a trader's market right now. You've basically got the yin and the yang of the hog market. The huge supplies in the front month and the expected demand coming in 2019. So really, on the days where we're having the stories and the reports on the big front month supply, probably buying into that. In the days where, we're talking about swine flu and the coming demand because of that. We'll sell into that, you know, playing it for a point and a half. I like doing that. I'm going to probably just keep on doing that. I don't see why that range would not change. And you know what? You can make a point or two here and there on the hog market every once in a while as the news stories, just as the market focuses on what news it wants to either focus on the bullish stories or the bearish stories. That's fine by me. That's a trader's market, and we'll probably keep on doing that. That takes care of the cattle and the hogs and all the grains and the outside markets. So here we are. We're 20 minutes in. Again, I always think we're going to have a short podcast, and we don't. I think that's about it. I did want to get into the energy markets, but with the recent sell-off in crude kind of just made us pause a little bit and see what's going on there. You know, the whole story with that journalist in Turkey kind of spooked the markets a little bit. And then Saudi Arabia came out and said they knew they'd supply as much oil as possible that the world needed. Probably as a way to, you know, get in good with the U.S. and Trump a little bit, because he's been complaining about oil prices. So, I don't know. There's a lot going on there. A lot of signals being thrown out by heads of state. That's no way to participate in a market. We'll just let all that come down. I still like natural gas. I think on the breaks here, we're going to have... Natural gas is going to be tight this winter. We're going to have a colder winter, and we used up a lot more natural gas than we thought. So... We did break out a couple of weeks ago. If we get towards the lower part of that range, I do like buying it. Natural gas can move real fast on you. So again, I probably like calls or the future spreads on that. If you have any questions, if you want to trade with me, whether it's broker assisted, online, or hybrid, let me know. Happy to talk to you anytime. Also, if you like the podcast, if you're going to be, if you need a speaker, for your organization, we are making plans now. And if you're interested in hearing me talk and want the promo code for the cities that we're going to be seeing, I'm in the midst of doing that now. But you certainly can email me at cturner@danielstrading.com. And again, all my contact information is on the website, turnerstakeag.com, and also in the show notes of this podcast. You can always find my email address and phone number in there too. So have a great week, everyone. I don't think we'll do a podcast tomorrow, but we will do one in the beginning of next week, unless something real out of left field happens tomorrow. I'll be talking to you Monday. All right, have a great weekend, and thank you for everyone who listens. And if you get the time and you like this podcast, you can come over to iTunes and give us a review. That would be fantastic. And pass this along to anyone who might want it. All right, again, thanks very much. Talk to you later.
This material is conveyed as a solicitation for entering into a derivatives transaction. This material has been prepared by a Daniels trading broker who provides research market commentary and trade recommendations as part of his or her solicitation for accounts and solicitation for trades. Daniels Trading, its principals, brokers, and employees may trade in derivatives for their own accounts or for the accounts of others. Due to various factors such as risk tolerance, margin requirements, trading objectives, short-term versus long-term strategies, technical versus fundamental market analysis, and other factors, such trading may result in the initiation or liquidation of positions that are different from or contrary to the opinions and recommendations contained therein. Past performance is not necessarily indicative of future performance. The risk of loss in trading futures contracts or commodity options can be substantial, and therefore investors should understand the risks involved in taking leveraged positions and must assume responsibility for the risks associated with such investments and for their results. You should carefully consider whether such trading is suitable for you in light of your circumstances and financial resources. You should read the risk disclosure accessed at www.danielstrading.com. Daniels Trading is not affiliated with, nor does it endorse any trading system, newsletter, or similar service. Daniels Trading does not guarantee or verify any performance claims made by such systems or services.